Ninth Perek of Mishlei, there's one line in the Goyin, in the second Pasuk, that I want to do today. That's just mamish one line in the Gra. The Gra brings a Medrash, and I wanted to analyze that Medrash and to learn over something we once learned a long time ago. I'm not sure in this Shir or in another Shir. I mentioned it to Shalashudas. It's a very important Nefesh HaChayim. The pasuk begins here. Chachmais ban sabesa chotzva amudeha shiva. The first pasuk is the way the Goyin cheshbens out the different categories and numbers, and it's full of Kabbalah. And Bezus Hashem, we're going to have some future opportunity, perhaps, to do this, but not today. But the idea here, of course, is that the Torah builds the house. The house here that we're talking about is the world. In that first pasuk, the Goyin brings that the word Bereishis includes the word Rosh and Bayis. And Rosh and Bayis sort of divide everything. Shamayim and Eretz is included in Rosh and Bayis. Chochmas is in the plural. Bonsa is in the singular. All the Rishonim point that out. I once gave you in a footnote from the Radak and the Evan Ezra, a whole list of psukim in Tanakh. It's a long time ago, so you may not remember. But there was a whole list in Tanakh where the singular verb is used for a plural noun. Normally, singular was with singular and plurals with plural. You know, if we would say here chachmois, it should be bonu, not bonsa. Because bonsa is a single woman, and chachmois, of course, is nekeva. But it should be chachma or chachoma bonsa besa, not chachmois. So the Evan Ezra points that out. Everybody points that out. So whatever they say, what they are saying is that there are plurals that go with single verbs. The Vilna Gaon, of course, is not going to be satisfied with that. He's going to have to explain why. So he says because chachmois are subsumed into a single level of chachma, and he writes that the three madregas, which are all concluded together, v'kulon echad, l'chein oma, chachmois ban sabesa. So the pasuk says that chachma of different varieties establishes the house, which in this case is the world, chotzva amudeha shiva, and it really is established on seven pillars. And the seven pillars are equivalent to the seven rikiyim, he says, and they are also equivalent to a number of other inyonim, which are mentioned in the pasuk va'ata Yisrael, ma'ashem lekecho shomei mochkiyim liyira, and there's a list of seven things there. This is all very esoteric, and it's not for us right now. What we are interested in is in the pasuk gimel. But let's just continue in the words of the psukim themselves. Tavcha tivcha chotzva lachatzov to hew, H-E-W. Chotzva, she used seven columns of support that binyan that she built. Bonsa besa, chotzva, not only she bonsa, but she's also chotzva. The Vilna Gaon also mentions that, but the Mefarshim explained the difference between bonsa and chotzva. Chotzva is something that you do from the original makar. Bonsa is something that requires much more physical work. In other words, there's more personal involvement in the human being in binyan than there is in chatziva. But be that as it may, let's look at pasuk beis. Tavcha tivcha masocha yena af ocha shulchana. So the Vilna Gaon says over here that we are talking about the different kinds of Torah. Now you have Mishnah, and of course you have Gemara, preceded of course by Mikra. Those are the three: Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. But the Iker he emphasizes here is the difference between Mishnah and Gemara. He says that the reason that Archa Shulchana, she sets her table. In other words, not only does she shecht the meat and prepare it, not only does she pour the wine, she mixes and pours the wine, but she also sets the table. So the pouring of the wine and the setting of the table, this is Mishnah and Gemara. What's the difference between, what's setting the table? So he says that you can't paskin from Mishnayis. As significant and essential as Mishnayis are, they cannot be the final word. If you'll take a look in his comments, in Birag Rav Mishle Perik Tes Pasuk Beis, it says, Rak She'ein lahayretz min ha-mishneh. K'mosha amru kalamayra halacha min ha-mishneh. You know, you're not allowed to paskin shailas from the Mishnayos themselves. In other words, he precedes with the words of how important the Mishnayos are, and it's koyel all kinds of dinim, and it's all included as one, and he brings the first Mishnah of Taharos and so on. He that it has a lot of klolim, and dini nezikin, he has arba avos nezikin the klolim, and the dvarim shenemru b'nevela saiftar, the first Mishnah in Taharos. So he has all of those things. So Mishnayos has this tremendous koyach of organization. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Saita Daf Chav Beis, that whoever is paskening min ha-mishneh is doing something wrong, because you cannot pasken shailas min ha-mishneh. So what do you have to do? You have to learn Gemara. So that's what he says. Zehu af orcha shulchan ohu ha-gemara, shesham hi orcha ha-shulchan. What does it mean to organize the table, to set the table? Kol ha-dinim. You know it from Rashi. You should present it to them as an organized and set table where everything is already in its proper place. You don't have to do anything more. So that's what he says is Gemara. Now we go to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Sholcha na'areseha tikra algape meroy mekaras. She sends out her emissaries. The Chochmah sends out her emissaries, and it's expressed in the terms of Na'aroseha, and they go out and they call, you know, on the top of the hilltops, they call all the people together. They give the Torah out to the people. So who are these Na'aroseha who give the Torah out to the people? So he says in Pasuk Gimel, right? Sholcha Na'aroseha, hey Moshe Aaron and Miriam, V'kol ha-neviyim, k'mosha kosuv, v'eshlach es Moshe Aaron and Miriam. The pasuk in the Navi in the Haftarah of Parshas Balak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look what I did for you. I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I gave you these three neviyim, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And the lashon that the pasuk uses, not I gave you, but I sent to you, for eshlach. So the neviyim are shluchim. And that's what it says over here in the pasuk, Sholcha Na'areseha. So the Na'areis of the Chochmah, the servant maidens, the girls that are attached to the Chochmah, that the Chochmah sends forward, are called Na'areis. Who are they really? They are the Nevi'im. So he says, V'amru, Nimshlu ha-Nevi'im l'noshim. On these three words is today's shiur. V'amru, Nimshlu ha-Nevi'im l'noshim. And it's not about women. This year is not about women. Nimshalu ha-neviyim l'noshim. Where does this come from? So the pasuk is in Shir HaShirim. Hayofa banoshim. So the Medrash Rabbah, in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Perek Aleph, on pasuk Ches, and you have it in the footnote, and this is a very long footnote, and the footnote is really the brunt of the shir. This footnote is the Ikar, the Nefesh HaChayim. But it begins with this explanation of the Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah. The Medrash says a very fascinating thing, that the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael were compared to women. What does that mean? What does it mean? So the Medrash says, Omar Reb Yosi, look at footnote number one, Omar Reb Yosi Bar Yirmiya, Loma Nimshlu HaNevi'im Banoshim, Ma Isha, Eina mispayeshes litvoya tzorchei beisa mibala. Kacha neviim eina mispayeshim litvoya tzorcheim shel Yisrael meaviim shebashamayim. Very remarkable, remarkable medrash. The medrash says noshim here means wives, not women in general, and it means that a wife is never afraid to ask for the needs of the household. He's not talking about, you know, taking the credit card and spending the husband's money. What they mean is that a woman, in general, she has to be toiveya things from her husband. She may be squeamish, but she'll never be afraid to ask for the things that the household genuinely needs. And look at the Torah Tmima. He spells out the point, and I think he's right on target over here. Tam hadavar, mishum delochein eino mitzvayeshes. Eina misbayeshes litvoyat tzorchei habayis mibala. Mishum de yoidas hi. The tzorchei habayis noigim gam loy. In other words, she's really doing it for him. If she manages the household, she needs money to pay for whatever it is that she buys. The food, to pay for whatever else the family needs. And that is really his responsibility, which she is taking care of. But it's more than that. When she does this, she is fulfilling her responsibility. Imagine the Perik and Mishle Yeshes Chayu Miyimsa. And Noida Basha'arim Ba'ala B'Shiftayim Ziknei Aretz. The person is free from all of the responsibilities of the household. What does he do a whole day? He sits and learns. He's Bashar, he's with the Dayanim. But it's even more than that. It's not just that she frees him, but she has his interests, his objectives, his goals in mind. So what she is doing really is for him, and that's why she's not afraid to ask. For herself, she may be afraid to ask. But when she does it for the sake of her husband, she's never afraid to ask, because it's really for himself. So the Gemara, according to the Torah Tmimah's explanation, the Medrash, is expressed in a Nefesh HaChayim, which is extremely relevant to us in our davening, and that's why I wanted to mention it in this shir. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos says something very remarkable, for which there are quite a number of different pshatim, because it lends itself to different pshatim, and I just brought another one besides the Nefesh HaChayim to contrast, and that's the Tzlach, the Noida Behuda, which is approximately the same time in history, Noida Behuda a little bit before. The Nefesh HaChayim was Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So it's one door later, but the Noida Behuda has its own pshat in the Tzlach, and that I gave you at the end of the footnote. But the Nefesh HaChayim is on this Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, it's on the very bottom of the Amud, and it continues to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, two words. The Gemara says, two people, Moshe Rabbeinu also, but right now the Gemara says two people, Chana and Eliyahu, Hitichu Dvarim Klapei Mala. Now, we don't know what Hitichu Dvarim Klapei Mala exactly means. It sounds like they had kindness to Hashem. That's what it sounds like. What does it say? It says, Vatispalo Chana al Hashem. As the Malbim points out in Vayikra somewhere, the Malbim says that every time the word El should have been used, to them, and it uses the word Al, there has to be some Kavona or Drush associated with it. It's not totally interchangeable. So when you see the word Al, where you should have seen the word El, it is reason for pause for Chazal and for the Mefarshim. And they have to say something. There's something here. The Pasuk says, Vatispalo Chana, famous moment in history. She wanted a child, and she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, Vehi Maras Nafesh, she was very embittered. And as I told many times, we mentioned this, and the Malbim actually says this Beferish, but I heard it many, many times from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, that what was the reason that Chana suddenly exploded in this incredible tefillah after all these years? What is she doing now suddenly in the Beis HaMikdash, davening in such a way that Vayachsheveha Eli Lishikora? So the answer is, as long as you have hope in some boss of Adam, now there's a mice, I think, with the Koshnitz Magid perhaps, or one of the great, the Amudei HaChassidus, where this barren woman came to him and desperate, and she begged him for that he should daven for her, and he refused. And he didn't answer her. And she came again and again, and finally she's in despair that he's not going to daven for her, and he will not help her. She turned to the Ribbono Shel'olam, and she said, Ribbono Shel'olam, even the great Magid doesn't want to help me. Only you can help me. Then the Magid said, now this is it's angehol. This is exactly what happened in the case of Chana. Because you see, every time she was married to the Gadol Hador. She's not stam a person. It was the Gadol Hador. And his tefillahs surely were very powerful. And every time she cried, And every time that Pnina heard Sara was mitzayer her, and used to remind her, you know, where are the diapers? Could you remember where the diapers are? I put the diapers away somewhere for her own children. And he was mitzayer, and it says that she was mitzayer b'shem Shammai. But every time she was mitzayer and Chana cried, husband said, Chanala, you go in your corner like Yitzchak and Rivka did in their time. You go in your corner, I'll go in my corner, we'll daven, and truly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. One day, the Pasuk records this episode in the Haftarah, in the Parsha. Pasuk says that Chana, they came to Shiloh, and he gave them their portions, and she started to cry. And Elkanah says to her the following words, Chana, lama sivki, v'lama lo saichli, why don't you eat? V'lama yeira levavich, haloi anoichi toiv loch me'asara banim. Chana, so you would have children, what would be? They'd help you, they'd support you, they'd say Kaddish, whatever. I'm going to take care of you, I'm better to you than if you had 10 children. What did Chana hear in that seemingly comforting expression? That he gave up hope. In other words, he didn't say this time, Chana will break down the walls. It's another year. Never mind. It's going to happen. Now he said, Chana, even if it doesn't happen, not it's nishkefelach. He didn't say it's nishkefelach. He says, I'll be good to you. It's not going to change our relationship. You're still the number one. When Chana heard that, she realized, like that lady that Nebuch went to the Magid, that he's not helping her anymore. He gave up. Habich nishkenein breira, but it's against him, Rebbeinu Shalom. So it says, Vatispalel al Hashem. Now, what is Vatispalel al? It should be Vatispalel el Hashem, exactly. So Vatispalel al Hashem means that there's something here in her tefillah that has to do with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Gemara says right here that Flamin Aleph from the base of Amar Reb Elazar, Chana hiticha dvarim klapi mala shenema vatispalel al Hashem malame sheiticha dvarim klapi mala v'amar Reb Elazar Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klapi mala shenema, and this is in the past Haftarah, just a few days ago. Today is Yom Sheni. On Shabbos we lay in this Haftarah. And everybody should have jumped out of their chairs who were paying attention to the Haftarah and say, what is going on over here? Eliyahu is saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you, Hashem, turn the hearts of Bnei Yisrael away from you. How could Eliyahu say such a thing? So the Gemara says, Dafka, Adarabba. Eliyahu is matiach dvarim klapei mala. Eliyahu is speaking to Hashem in these forceful terms, almost as if the Gemara is mashmat saying that Ribbono Shel Olam, it's your fault. If you open up the Radak, if you open up Rashi, you'll see that the Radak starts with Reb Sad Yigon, and he gives four different pirushim. The last pirush he doesn't like, he doesn't agree with, but this pasuk is a very vexing pasuk. Eliyahu is telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the cause of it. So some say it's the exact opposite. If you perform this miracle, then they realize if you would have performed the miracle earlier, then they would have turned back to Hashem much earlier. So Memela, the rest of it is your fault, the in-between. It's the one pshat after another. It's a very, very difficult pasuk. It's especially difficult because he's davening to Hashem and he's begging Hashem to provide him the eish. So what's va'ata asibaisa? So the Gemara says here, you see that Eliyahu has this big taina, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with him. So he says, no, how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim? They don't quote a pasuk by Eliyahu in Har HaKarmel. They don't quote a pasuk from Eliyahu at all. They quote a pasuk from Micha. In Micha Perik Dalid, the pasuk, I brought the whole pasuk for you, Bayoimahu Nu'um Hashem, I will gather in all of the cripples. It means those people who are hinkadik, cripples in the spiritual sense. The hanidocha akabetza, and those who are pushed away, like uboha ovdim baretz asher vanidocha baretz mitzrayim, vanidocha, the one that's pushed away from Yiddishkeit, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, akabetza. I will gather them together, says Hashem. We're talking about Yemos HaMashiach. We're talking about Lassid Lavan. I will gather them all together, all those estranged and crippled Jews. Va'asher ha'reyosi, and those whom I wronged. You hear a pasuk? Those whom I wronged. Asher ha'reyosi. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking to him that he was meiria, he was causing them harm. He did the damage. Pilei ploy. So that's what he was saying, Eliyahu. Ata hasibosas leva amachos. Vasa the pshat in them. What is the pshat of these psuk? So let me tell you a gevaldika yisoid before we actually look at the nefesh hachayim. You know, the Ribbono Shlom has a method, a derech, in responding to Klal Yisrael's chet. When Klal Yisrael sins, he meets out a punishment called golus. Now, the golus is a punishment and it's an opportunity. But it's very fascinating that the opportunity and the punishment are very often atar to desasre. They contradict each other. You know why? Because the matzav of golus creates tremendous opportunities for assimilation and becoming distant from Hashem. And the hester panim on top of the golus makes it even more so, because a person who is inclined to chait doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that tremendous void is filled with the shtus and the hevel that we speak about so much in the shiurim. A person doesn't feel the kedusha in his life is a person who is going to seek out other opportunities of satisfaction, as superficial and ridiculous and useless as they are. And each one of those satisfactions brings a person further and further away from that kedusha, until finally his fate is almost sealed. And every type of golus has had massive assimilation associated with it. You take any of the big cities in Europe and you look at Warsaw. Who was the Reish HaKol of Warsaw? A frum Jew? No! A banker, a Freier Yid. What was the majority of Vilna? The Vilna of the Vilna Goyim. You know, Vilna is called Yushalayim Delita. What was Vilna? Vilna was theater. Yiddish theater, Yiddish poets, Yiddish writers. Who is Torah? Who is Torah? How many yeshivas were there in Vilna? How many tzaddikim were residing in Vilna? How many erlich hayidin? How many mothers whose whole she'ifa was that my child should grow up and be a tzaddik, a tzaddikas, a Talmud Chacham, like Sarah Imenu, my daughter? How many? How many? Before the Milchama. You have a World War I. Do you know what the Akira of World War I did? You go to Russia. Million Jews wiped out long before they were killed, because the communism simply shredded Yiddishkeit. Chafetz Chaim writes, if we would have been Meisa Nefesh like the Chashmonaim, maybe things would have been different. We weren't Meisa Nefesh. So you want the Jews to be like the Chashmonaim? So you send them into Golus, you're sending them into a shredder, into a paper shredder, with no armor. And you expect them not to be shredded into fine, thin pieces of confetti? What do you want from them? And I have this image that is searing in my head, because I can't digest it. You know, sometimes, did you ever have a meal and something you ate and you can't digest it? Whatever you're doing, it's grizhit. It's grizhit. There's a yeshiva bacher. A gans edele elcha taira bacher. He is how old? 16. 16-year-old. He's waiting to catch the bus to go to yeshiva. That's his aveira. He's going to yeshiva. That's his aveira. He's waiting in the shelter. You know what I call it, a shelter. And what is in that shelter? In that shelter is a picture. And what is the picture of? You should forgive me, in a base medrash. Of a Nakata Freud. And as I always say, she's not in Gansenaket, which is worse. Gansenaket falipnen dem tag. And he's looking at this picture, not because he wants to look at the picture, but because he has nothing else to do.
So let's look at the Ribbono Shel Olam.
That should hold a sefer like this in front of his eyes and walk around the whole street. And when he comes to the bus shelter, he should put it closer even to his eyes. Say Nuchanami, that's what he should be doing, maybe. Das will the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's what you expect from a red-blooded, hot-blooded, warm-blooded, 16-year-old bacher? And what is his crime, anyhow? That he's waiting to go to yeshiva? So I always say that Rav Aaron Kotler came to give a shiur for his Talmud Muvuk in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yankov Yosef. Rav Mendel Kravitz Zichrono Livracha was his Talmud Muvuk. Rav Aaron Zichrono Livracha comes, and the first thing he says, I wasn't there, I was too young, but they said it over many, many times. The first thing he said was he doesn't, because he came to the yeshiva from the west side on the subway. Do you know how the women were dressed in those days? You're talking about 500 years ago. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the transformation of the world in these last couple of decades is more than 500 years worth. The tremendous deterioration. And he was in the subway at that time. Nicht hanged. And he said, I can't imagine a bacher. They all used to come from elsewhere, not just from the Lower East Side, to the yeshiva. They came from the Bronx, and they came from Crown Heights, and from all over the place. It was a very big yeshiva, 1,000 Talmidim at the time. And he said, I don't know how a person could learn a Blat Gemara and have his Yira Shamayim after going on such a subway trip in the morning every day. Golus is a miserable bargain for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps saying in this chazal and that chazal and this chazal and that chazal. Kalani miroishi, kalani miroishi, oily! Shech rafti is basi visarafti secholi veglesi is bonne lube numasa oilam. Oily! Woe unto me! The woe unto me is not just! Not just! That my children are in Golus. And a tata tutve. It's oily! Because the punishment is on me. Because I lost so many of them. There's so much hemorrhaging. You stand there with the clamps and you run out of clamps. You don't have enough clamps for the hemorrhaging. And you say, where are the clamps? Nurse, give me the clamps! And she says, we don't have any more clamps. And the person's bleeding to death. So that's Asher HaReyosi. I did it to myself. So you'll ask me, so what's it kedai? So I'll be very honest with you. I am smaller than a microcosm. Smaller than a microcosm. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam would have asked me, I would have told him to dat, it's not a good deal. And it's not kedai. It's mamish not kedai. The problem is that he's not asking me. So if I say I'm not davening hard enough and I'm not important enough to daven hard enough. But maybe if we all daven together, maybe Ribbono Shel Olam could be convinced that it's taken that kedai. That's exactly what the Nefesh HaChaim says. Nefesh HaChaim says, this yesod, that what we should be concerned about is the tsar of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's where the focus of our tefillos should be. And that's what it means that Chana and Eliyahu were matiach dvorim klapei mala. It means that their concern was the impact on the Eibishter. But here he goes into a very profound analysis, which is so critical. And I believe that if somebody took this Nefesh HaChaim to heart, I mean really to heart, not just a shir, not just a nice vertel, not just a pshat in the Gemara, but in his kishkes and in his heart, he would never do an Aveira. Never do an Aveira. I'm telling you. The problem is that something in our Yetzirah allows us to kind of like push these things into a compartment called a good vart, a nice shir. It's really very interesting, it's very important, it's wonderful, it's great, but it's not me yet. But if it would be me, we would never do a single Aveira. Because of the pain that we would feel for the Ribbono Shel Olam's pain. And this is what he says. He says, somebody takes medicine, and the medicine is very painful. Person has to have a surgery and there's no anesthetic to be found. But the surgery is critical. And the father is looking at this child having the surgery and he's having tremendous tsar. Why did the child have the surgery? What was the need for the surgery? The answer is because the child had some substance abuse or did something terrible, and he got into a matzav, and now he has a gangrenous infection, or his blood is damaged, and so on and so forth, and now he needs something really radical to happen. The tsar of the father that he got into this matzav is much greater even than the tsar that he has for the pain that he sees in front of his eyes in the surgery. That tsar is much greater than the tsar that he feels at the time of the surgery. And if the child would understand the tsar of his father, he would never have gotten into the matzav to begin with. This is part of a much larger piece, but this is the tshuvah that I wanted to emphasize. In Nefesh HaChayim Shar Beis, V'cheinomu Razal, Gemara Brachos Samach Gimel Amad Aleph, Kol HaMeshatev Shem Shamayim B'tzaroi, Koiflin Loi Parnasosai. What does it mean to include HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make him a shutaf, a partner in your pain, in your suffering? V'inyon, ki milvad ze hatzar, above and beyond the tsar that the father has for his son when he's taking the without anesthetic, the surgery, when the person's being punished for his aveiros, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to look on, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous tsar, he says. Ke'inyan ha'bein yakir li'Ephraim, he says, Ein aroich v'dimyo in klal zeh hatzar shel malo neged oitzem hatzar shegoram lemalo be'eis asoysoy ha'ovoin rachmona litzlan. He says there's nothing at the time of the punishment. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has to punish, you know, the father says when he takes the bite and he wants to hit his child, he says, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. And of course the child says, sure. But lemaisa, it does. It does. A real sensitive parent, when the child hurts, it hurts him tremendously. Says the Nefesh HaChayim, this is nothing. The hurt that the father feels when he's meeting out the punishment, that the child is suffering from the punishment, is nothing compared to the hurt that the father feels when the person does the aveira to begin with. Ein aroich. To the moment that he actually did ba'asaysay ha'avon rachmano litzlan. Ke'inyan ha'bein yakir, like a wonderful child, shenispata b'yenoi, he got drunk, v'nafala aretz, and he became, you know, he lost his balance because he was drunk. And he slipped, and he fell on the ground, and he cracked his head. V'nafala aretz v'nishbar mafraktoi v'gufoi, and he's all bloodied and broken. V'hu mesukan, and he's in a sakona. V'hu atzmai enoi margish oz klal sakonas nafshoi. At the moment, he doesn't feel anything because he's drunk. Such a beautiful mashal, unfortunately. K'mashakosuv, heikuni bal chalisi, helmuni bal yodati. They banged me, they brutalized me, and I didn't even know about it. Omnam oviv libay mismarmi ma'id al zeh. But the father is so distressed. When they bandage this fellow and they bind him and they try to put the pieces back together, and they put very, very strong chemicals to try to stanch the blood and to try to cure the infection, and the child is screaming bitterly that all of these chemicals are eating him up and they're causing him so much tsar. The imki ovid mitzdar litzakosoi v'rabbis anchoisov ata should be evolved, not a rage. Ein erech klal atzar shel ata neged atzar v'hayogoin harishoin shahoyo lo ovid be'eshanafo v'shibra atzmoisov asher kimat nesiyayish mechayavoz. Kein mamish hazeh ha'ifin ha'oven ha'inyan ha'oven. When a person does an aveira, she be'ais she'adam oisehu. When the person does a chait, who goyrem lamalo tsar godol va'otzum le'ein erech. If anyone really believed that, I don't mean cerebrally. We all believe. If the Nefesh HaChaim says it, it comes from Helik and Mekairis. We believe. We're Elik HaYidin. But I'm talking about believing in your kishkes. Believing meaning that you know it. Believing means that you can imagine it. Believing means that you can see it. We would never be able to do an aveira, and even b'chadrei chadorim, because we would realize that at that very moment we are causing the Ribbono Shel Olam incredible anguish. This whole idea of causing anguish to the Ribbono Shel Olam is a chiddush nifla. Ribbono Shel Olam is not a person. He doesn't have feelings in that sense of feelings the way we have feelings. But we're upsetting the entire cosmic structure with our chatoim. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. And giving us Bechira, he gave these little tiny creatures that are essentially Ka'avak Pireyach Bechachalim Yoif, inordinate power. We actually, as the Nefesh HaChaim keeps repeating, have power to change the course of the entire history of the universe, to change the course of the planets, of the cosmos, to change the destiny of the Bria. And that is a power that we abuse again and again and again. Instead of doing the mitzvah that can project tremendous shefa to the world, we do averus that cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous tzar. For Adam atzmai einoi margish oz bazeh klal. Because of course if he would, he would desist immediately. V'lo yoda ki benafshayu. He doesn't realize the extreme nature of what he's doing. The beginning of the Perek Misha Mesa in Brachos, Rishoyim b'chayehem kruyim mesim. It means they're dead in the sense that they have no feelings and no sensitivities of the impact of their averus on the world and on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kivayochel. V'yesh avoinois shal yedeyem nafshoy nichrisol legamri chas v'sholon meyiskashrus chevel HaKedusha. He says that the tzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is because he's a tata, and he's a merciful tata, and he's a caring tata. And as bad as this person is because he's slapping his father in the face, he's humiliating his father, kivayochel, but the father in his tremendous mercy and tremendous love hurts terribly to see the disaster that is now his son. The tragedy that has befallen him, that he followed his Yetzer Hara, and look what happened. He says the sequence of the thing is as follows. Person does an Avera because he doesn't realize what he's doing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inordinate tzar, enormous, unbelievable tzar. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the person to try to bring it back. And in the punishment, there is great suffering. From the suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has tzar. Because he can't tolerate that his child is suffering physically, that he's suffering from the punishment itself. But he says, the suffering from that Hashem has from witnessing the punishment taking effect. And the tzar, the screaming and yelling of the person says, Oy vey, what's happening to me? I'm suffering so much. Is nothing compared to the tzar that Hashem has when the person did the Avera when he felt nothing and he did the Avera at the very outset. That tzar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so enormous you can't even describe it. It says, Omnam, ein aroy klau zeh hatzar, the tzar of suffering with the sufferer, suffering with the person who was punished. It's nothing compared to the tzar shegoram lamala be'eis asoysoy ha'avayn chas v'shalom. V'lachein, kishakol tachlis tfilas ha'odom lefonav yisbarach shmoy, v'hosim me'olov tzaroi, hu rak al atzar shel malo ha'mishtatef ima b'tzaroi. V'shovu mischorit be'emes al avoynu shegoram al yoda atzar shel malo, oz ha'yisurim mistalkim me'olov. He says if a person does tshuva and it's a real genuine tshuva, the tshuva accomplishes to remove two levels of tzar. The tzar that Hashem has from the punishment, but more important, the tzar that Hashem had that he did the Avera to begin with. A person does tshuva, he gets a double measure of reward. Kaiflin loy parnasasa is the image. Because he did a double chesed to Hashem. What was the double chesed? He removed the immediate tzar of the punishment, and he removed the original tzar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, which is much greater. Now he quotes the Gemara that we were talking about. Vehimaras nafesh vatispalel al Hashem with an ayin. Sheiticha dvarim klapei malo. Ratzaloimar. So this is his pshat, and it's very different than what we might think in the Pashup pshat of the Gemara. In the Pashup pshat of the Gemara, it sounds like she has tainus to Rabbanu Shalom. Rabbanu Shalom, you made me with a womb. Why did you make me with a womb? What do I need a womb for? I'm barren. I can't have a child. Why did you make me with a womb? You made me with breasts to nurse a baby. What do I need them for? I'm not going to nurse a baby. So why did you make me with these kelim? That's the way the sense of it is in the Gemara. He says, you're wrong. He says as follows. Ratzaloymar. Hagam shehi atzma hoysa maras nafesh. The Pasuk says, vihi maras nafesh. Vatispalo al Hashem. The way the Nefesh HaChayim portrays Chana, and maybe the secret of why we used Chana as the archetypical image of a misfalling. Ratzfoseha no'os v'kolo lo yishameya. She is the one that teaches us what we call the tefillah b'lachash. And it could be that when you're talking kedaber ish oriyehu, it's one kind of tefillah. And when you're talking in a whisper, you're talking only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're saying very sensitive things. And maybe that's what he meant over here, that this Behima Rasnofesh, she took her own misery and set it aside. She said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not davening to you because I am suffering, because I am barren, because I am hurting. I'm davening because you are hurting. Take away your hurt from yourself. You know, it says in the... This also helps us understand Yishmael b'ni barcheni. Remember, it's now a song, so everybody knows it. Yishmael b'ni. So, Yishmael b'ni barcheni. So what did he say? He said, Shiratzayim, that what? That your midas harachamim should be mezgaber on your midas hadin. Yogoylu rachamecha midasech v'tisnai gimonu. What is the pshat in that? Because that will be the source of your nachas, of your the sefurno on the pasuk ve'yei bracha uses this gemara and he says, what does it mean that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, you should be a bracha, teheli nachas, you should be my nachasol. From your mitzvahs and my sin toivim, I should derive tremendous pleasure. You know, Tata has a son, he's graduating. And he has the pras. He's the bokher ha-chodesh, bokher ha-shana, bokher kol ha-olam kulay. That's a tremendous nachas. Hashem says, you Avram, heyei bracha, be my nachas. Could you imagine a pshat like that? It's unbelievable. So that's what he's saying over here. That Chana said, I don't care about my own suffering. But how is it that you are suffering, Hashem? Take your suffering away by giving me a child. It's an amazing idea. Hiticha dvarim means she attributed, she associated her words to Hashem and not to herself. He says, Hiticha dvarim klapi malo, let's read it over again, Ratzaloymar, Hagam shehi atzmo isomar as nefesh, im koze hishlicha tzara mineged, v'lo ichpas lo lispalol azeh klal, she's not even interested in herself. Ela she hiticha, that's what it tests. Hiticha divrei tefilaso lefan of Yisbarach Shmai al atzar shel malo hanase machmas sheishru yo'ato b'tzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tolerate that she is b'tzar. L'chein omru sham shegam Moshe hitiach dvarim klapei malo al tikrei el Hashem el al Hashem. Ulefib shutai, the bunch of aleph by mistake became a test, became an aleph. Ulefib shutai mi echrichem l'razal lidrash al tikri v'loim shitiyak v'rom klapim mala omnam l'mal yusohu d'dar shuhachi u'kamosha kasavnu. And then he says, v'es pnei meivin l'hovin al derech zema sh'omu gabil yohu hitiyak v'rom klapim mala sh'nema v'ata ha'siboysa achayranis. So I don't want to go into the Kabbalah part of this. There's a big chelik in the Eitz Chaim that talks about this. The Eitz Chaim basically says that when the Shekhinah is begolus and the Shekhinah separates itself from Klal Yisrael, what happens is that the klipos have a tremendous capacity to be misgather. They align themselves and they become extremely powerful. And against those klipos, it's almost irresistible. So the fact that the Shekhinah went away, it's exactly what I told you, but that's in Kabbalistic terms. I told it to you in very practical terms. The kid is standing by the bus shelter, and he's not shayach to be controlled from an Aveira, because it's screaming at him, and all he wants to do is go to yeshiva. He's not looking for tzaras, he's not looking for Aveiras, he's not going to the wrong places. But the klipas surround him. They mamish surround him and they eat him up. They eat him up, Rabbi say. So how could the Ribbono Shel Olam tolerate such a thing? So we beg that the Shekhinah should return. We beg that there should not be so much hesed upon him. So the Reb Chaim Volozher in the corollary, he says that in tefillah, which should be the ikar tefillah of Ashmona Esrei, he said the ikar tefillah of Ashmona Esrei is Reva Anyenu, Reva Venu. Kolenu, Heira. What's the next two words? Ma'an Shmecha. He says, he says a person is fighting an army on all fronts, and he says there's one battle that if he wins it, he wins everything. He says, if we get the Reva and Yenu, we have everything else that's listed there. All the other brachas are already accomplished. As long as we have that Reva and Yenu, Goleinu Meheira, Laman Shmecha. So who thinks Laman Shmecha, this Reb Chaim Volozher is Torah? And if we would feel that way all day long, every one of us would be malachim and tzaddikim. It's a tremendous avodah, but it's a focus. It's a way of thinking, you know. Sometimes a person needs a focus. And I always imagine that hopefully, I mean, maybe I give myself too much credit, that these shiurim are helpful for at least a day or two. And I don't mean to be sarcastic. That's also something. The person not to do even one avera that he might have done, whatever it is, big or small. Person has, you know, it makes a roshim, and eventually, it could make a permanent roshim. Maybe, each person has his own koiches and nefesh and his yetzahara to contend with, but maybe. You know, to summarize, on this pasuk gimel, she sends out the neviim. The neviim are compared to mothers. Why wives? Why are the neviim compared to wives? Shirashim Rabba Hayofa Banoshim, because when they, this is what the connection was, when they spend the money, when they manage the household, they're not afraid that their husbands will criticize them, because the ikar of what they do is for the husband's benefit. If we would do for Hashem's benefit, and we would daven for Hashem's tzar, and we would do the mitzvahs for Kiddush Hashem and for Rivui Kvod Shamayim, then there never would be a doubt that Hashem would be happy with us. That's why the Neviim Adoyme were Noshim, because they call out that budget to the Klal Yisrael and say, listen, this is how we should spend our money, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will be very, very happy. So this is how we should deal with the world. This is what we should do with our mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with us. It's the call of Neviim is always to B'nai Yisrael, but it's always for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end. And that's why they are Dome to Hayofa Banoshim. And Reb Chaim Volozher is simply a Pirush Rashi, even though he didn't bring this Chazal. But it's a Pirush Rashi to this Chazal.